Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. It's hour two. Greg Cosell in a couple of minutes, live in L.A. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Hey, it's very, very big day for me because this, as of last night, it feels like we finally have the house organized.
Now, that's great.
We still don't have furniture in half the room. But we have, because there's the mail issue in America. The mail is slow in America right now. And so, like, we're not getting our normal mail. We had to go to the post office, and we ordered a lot of furniture from other states, and it's taking forever to cut. So half of our house isn't furnished. But we finally, last night, I'm sitting there having a glass of vino, and I feel like we finally, all the big garbage bags are loaded up. They pick up garbage this morning. They did.
It's a good feeling.
We crossed a barrier with the house.
Yeah, there's levels. I have, like, one more room I have to finish organizing, but like all the living spaces are good to go. It's a good feeling.
Yeah, it is.
I'm one of those people, I don't know if you're like this because you move so much. I move a lot too, but I have to get unpacked and settled immediately.
Yeah, same here.
I don't want any boxes.
Same.
I don't want stuff like not where it's supposed to be.
Yep.
It's got to be where it's supposed to be.
Chaos doesn't work for me.
Nope.
So it's interesting. By and large, I root for young people. I've hired young people. I root for them. And I think that's a general theme in America. We root for the next generation. We want young people to succeed, not just our own kids, but it's kind of cool to watch young, ambitious, driven men and women flourish. There is an exception, though, when young people think they're smarter than everybody else in the room. That was Josh McDaniels. He got hired by the Denver Broncos. And you're like, oh, Belichick lost his, like, whiz kid. But then he drafted Tim Tebow in the first round. And every scout I had said, Tebow's barely draftable. He's like a fifth-round guy. So Josh McDaniels went against scouts because Josh was suddenly, I'm the smartest guy in the room. Then people rooted against him. That's why people now are rooting against him when Brady leaves. It's Tom, not you. Watch out, Kyle Shanahan. My scouts are all saying the same thing on Mac Jones. He's not what wins in the NFL. An unathletic quarterback with no second reaction skills at all. If the play breaks down, it's over. Kyle Shanahan is not winning games. If he drafts Mac Jones, who half the scouts think is a third-round talent, then you're like, all right, Kyle's not winning games, and he's really not a quarterback expert. Narratives flip very quickly in this league. Belichick's the greatest coach ever. How many people did you hear in the last year go, Brady carried him. Guy can't draft players. Bill's rigid. System over talent. Carson Wentz. Guy's unbelievable. Carson Wentz lost. Bad locker room guy. Like, there is a clear and inarguable hole in Mac Jones's game. He does not look like 2021 football. Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence, all do. They run around. They've got arms. When the play breaks down, they have second reaction skills. Mac Jones doesn't. So what you're saying, if you take him third, I'm the smartest guy in the room. Because scouts are, like, look, there are some guys that think he's nowhere near a first-round pick. And I think whoever the Niners draft will succeed at some level. But if Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, and Justin Fields crush it somewhere, and you're sitting there with unathletic guy as the league gets more and more and more athletic at quarterback. I mean, Justin Fields last year had the lowest graded, Justin Herbert. Lowest graded offensive line in the NFL. Broke every record. That is the NFL. Mac Jones would have been devoured last year with the Chargers. Now, maybe he goes to San Francisco, the good offensive line, and he wins. But right now, Kyle Shanahan is 29-35. Okay. He's won more than six games one time in 4 years. Okay. So the narratives in this league flip very quickly. Belichick, 20 years, dominates, crushes people. 10 games in, we're like, guy can't draft. Jurassic. The offense is brutal. Cam Newton, what? Just be very careful, because when you look at Mac Jones, there's just a hole that even people who like Mac Jones are like, yeah, that's not great. And I look at it, and then all of a sudden, if Mac Jones, you draft him and he doesn't look great, now it's like you don't win, you really don't know quarterbacks, and you've blown two leads in Super Bowls. There are teams will just cross you off a list. They'll cross you off a list. Greg Cosell is now joining me. I love having Greg Cosell on. Is Greg phoning it, or is he on via the Coward Global Satellite Network? So, you know, this Mac Jones thing, I'm telling you, when I watched Justin Herbert last year and Kyler Murray the year before with those offensive lines, and I think to myself, I'm not saying Mac can't work if you gave him the Colts O-line, right? But I look at Mac Jones, Greg, and he's never trailed in the second half of a game. Do you have doubts?
Well, it gets to, I think, one of the central questions now in quarterback evaluation, which has incrementally changed over the years, Colin, and that is the value of second reaction movement ability, athletic ability. 10, 15 years ago, no one would have said that was an essential trait. Now I think more and more coaches say that's not just a nice add-on, that's an essential trait. So if you believe it's an essential trait, then Mac Jones is not your guy, because he's a below-average athlete. He's not going to make plays when it breaks down. Now, obviously people listening might say, hey, Tom Brady's had great success in this league relatively the same way. He did not make plays outside of structure. But then what you have to believe is that Mac Jones will reach a level where he'll be so good mentally, as Tom Brady reached that level years ago, where he basically can win downs before the snap of the ball. Because if you don't have movement, you must win downs before the snap of the ball. Because if you don't, the defense is going to win on critical downs, and then you've got nothing to do.
You know, listen, a lot of times a collegian's college traits follow him. Sam Bradford got hurt in college. Sam Bradford struggled with health. Sam Darnold, high risk, some bad throws, playmaker in college. Right now we see a playmaker who makes some really bad throws. Justin Fields is interesting. I thought he was really spectacular, but he was inconsistent half to half in the games I watched him.
Right.
That leads me to believe he will at times be inconsistent in college. Does that usually play out?
Well, I think what you're hoping, if you draft Justin Fields, who clearly has high-level traits, but I think what you're hoping with Justin Fields is that he learns the game. And as he learns the game, he can use his great athletic ability to camouflage and compensate for some of the concerns that he has. Because right now you're dealing with a guy, and this is purely tape study, and again, none of us know exactly how he's coached. So I'm just responding to interpreting based on my knowledge. The tape is you're seeing a guy that's a little inconsistent on what he sees, that therefore plays a little deliberately at times, that doesn't seem to have a great feel for isolating what is there, or eliminating what's not there and isolating what is there. Think little nuances of the position that ideally he can learn over time as he gains more experience, because you're dealing with a kid who has high level traits, both throwing and running, but you don't know that becomes a projection. And then there's 10, 12 variables that factor in whether that happens.
Is there anything about Trevor Lawrence that you don't like?
Oh, for sure. No one enters the league as a quarterback, Colin, as a finished product. That's just not the way it works in the NFL. So, I think there's a couple of things. Number one, he's kind of a body thrower. He's not a snap thrower. He throws with his body. So what happens when he gets pressure from the inside, interior pressure, which we've seen in the playoffs in each of the last 2 years, he has a tendency to rush his mechanics. And that's when he becomes a little scattershot and his ball placement loses it a little bit. And that's something you have to be aware of because he is going to get interior pressure in the National Football League. And he does tend to lose his accuracy a little bit.
That's fair. Yeah. I always comped him to Justin Herbert. Is Herbert a body thrower or an arm thrower?
He's more of an arm thrower. Herbert's a more talented thrower than Trevor Lawrence. Oh, just a more talented, natural thrower. He's an easier thrower of the football.
Lordy. I love Justin Herbert. You know, Justin Herbert likes me. Anyway.
That's why you like him, huh?
Exactly. In favor of the ones that like me. So it's a terrific wide receiver class. You got Ja'Marr Chase, who to me just looks the most athletic. He looks like a professional athlete playing college. There's Devontae Smith, who is explosive, but very thin. And then there's a kid, Jalen Waddle, who I think is a little undervalued. When you look at those three, are there any that have a trait or two that you think guarantees success in the league? Like one or two things from one of these players you like, boy, that will work immediately.
Well, they're different. I think Jalen Waddle, to me, in the way in which he can be deployed in the NFL, is very much like Tyreek Hill. You're dealing with a highly explosive athlete who has vertical ability. He has tremendous run after catch ability. You want to get him the ball on the move. You can use him on jet sweeps, orbit reverses, wide receiver screen game. He fits today's NFL, Jalen Waddle. He's an explosive athlete. Ja'Marr Chase, to me, I personally believe, based on film study, he's the best wide receiver prospect overall in the class. He's got a type A personality. He's physical. He's competitive. He's not big, but he's not small. He's put together well. He's just not overly tall. I think that he's another guy that fits well. He runs phenomenal slant routes. He gets off press just with physicality and competitiveness. He does have the ability, even though he's probably not a 4.35 guy, of getting vertical. He did that in college. He reminded me when I watched him, the names that popped into my head watching his tape were Steve Smith, DeAndre Hopkins. I think he's a really good prospect. Devonta Smith is fascinating. He's an outlier. He's 170 pounds, and there have not been 6 feet plus receivers at 170 pounds who have played well in this league. Now, he's a long, thin, silky, smooth, linear athlete. He's not a loose-hipped athlete. He's more straight line. To me, you need to line him up off the ball. He needs to be what we call a Z receiver, the receiver that is a movement receiver that's off the ball so you can get him free access, get him cleanly into his routes so he can stride. He's a strider. To me, he's not an X. The X lines up on the ball and is far more susceptible to being pressed and jammed. I don't think you want to put him in that position very often.
Finally, I kind of went crazy yesterday. I'm not into these pro days.
Listen,
Carmelo Anthony can be 50, and you can give him a basketball, and by himself, he could hit jumpers. He could hit 15 of 18 jumpers at 55 years old.
Right.
I watched the pro day, and I'm like, he's a pro prospect. Of course he can beat air. What do you make of pro days?
Very little. I guess it's a piece of the puzzle, but look, we didn't have a combine this year. So everybody gets excited about the pro days. We're now leading up to the draft. You know, you see a quarterback make a throw and people act like no one's ever made that throw before in the history of Western civilization. I mean, I think it gets a little extreme. It certainly seems like the 40-yard dash times have really jumped this year. So I don't know if that's a function of where they're running them, if they'd be higher at the combine. But I mean, you're seeing some guys run 40s that are just ridiculous. So I don't really know what to make of that. I'm going to stick to watching tape and watching guys play football.
I don't watch as much tape as you or tape, you know, at all. I watch games, but I'm going to go with that. All right, Greg Cosell, 41 years, NFL Films. Great seeing you again.
Thanks, Colin. I appreciate it.
I got a lot of pushback on that whole Zach Wilson thing. I'm not anti-Zach Wilson. It's just these are pro athletes. This is what they do. Like, we talked about this yesterday. I talk for a living. We talk.
Right.
You could give me any subject. I could go 15 minutes. I stopped taking calls when literally on the easy topics, 8 seconds in, people are bobbling it. And I thought, well, they're not professional talkers.
Correct.
So I can walk up in front of a crowd and just talk all day. Well, that's what I do. That's the minimum of what a talker, professional talker does. These are pro athletes. Zach Wilson can roll left, throw right, and it looks really sweet. He's a pro athlete. That pro days are about comfort. I'm throwing to a college receiver indoors, no defense, no pads, no helmet. My vision's perfect. The NFL is all about discomfort.
But Greg's right. We didn't have a combine this year. Everybody goes crazy at the combine also. It's something. I don't think that it's everything, but it is something. You know, you are on the spotlight. You have a bunch of people there watching you.
Okay, let's do this then.
You also have kind of a little bit of responsibility to the guys that you're throwing to, because a lot of them are trying to get, you know, noticed as well. So there's a little bit of pressure.
Okay, so let's do this. So here's the things that matter. Games.
Of course.
Okay, so games is a big percentage. We'll put pro day in there. Is pro day count as combine? They got rid of the combine, essentially, which I hate.
Well, I mean, it's COVID. I'm sure they'll bring it back.
Okay, so let's put combine in there. And then interview. Because the interview is very important. So Wonderlic only matters to me with quarterback. I don't Wonderlic for everybody else, I don't care. So I don't care about that. I'll put that in the combine. So we say games, pro day, combine, interview. So what are the percentages that are fair to you?
I mean, I would say games are 70%.
Okay, 70%. That's Joy's rating. And then Uncle Colin will have one. Okay, what's your pro day?
Pro day is like 5%.
Okay. What is your combine?
This is for quarterbacks, right?
Yeah, that's fine. Let's do quarterbacks.
Okay. Combine, so what percentage are we at now? Math is not my thing.
75.
I would say, I mean, combine's probably 10%. Because you want to see what the presence is at the combine.
Okay, so, and then you do interview is 15%.
Yes, the interview matters. I think that, you know, when you're scouting a quarterback, you're going to talk to a lot of people around him, guys that have worked with him, his coaches. You're going to, you know, look into a lot of different things. But how he is in an, because interviews are hard to do. It's you have to be really like an impressive.
Okay, so
person. Here's
Uncle Colin. Games are 80%, pro day is 0, combine is 0, and interviews 20. I think the pro day is 0. But I do think you have to go. Because your owner, you got to cover your arse. And so if everybody else is there.
Well, so then you got to make it some percentage. This is 1%.
Okay, so pro day is half of 1% and combine is half of 1%. So they're one.
They both count for 1%.
Yeah, but I think sometimes you have to do things for your billionaire boss.
Of course.
And I do think the combine, I do want to see you against other athletes. Here's why the combine matters to me. Because it's a big stage on television.
Right.
And I want to see if you gag a little.
Exactly.
Do you get, and by the way, so you're.
And are you alpha around the other guys in your group?
Yeah.
You know, and they talk about that. Guys watch for that. Scouts watch for that.
Yeah, I want to see your chest puff a little around. Pro day, it's with your college wide receiver.
So then you got to increase the percentage on the combine
okay.
a little bit.
Okay, combine is a full 1%.
Okay.
And then pro day is Zippo. So that's where I think it's games and interview. Like, I'm a big, I can literally sniff out idiots fast. We do this for a living, right? And I was talking to somebody, a very prominent sportscaster last night about this. About, you know, they're just, you can sniff people out fast. Like, you know, like somebody comes up and starts talking about Twitter to you. Like 3 seconds in, I'm just like, zit, I'm not going to talk to the hand, boom, I'm out. Like, you can figure, so an interview, if I get 9 minutes with you, 12 minutes with you, I can sense insecurity, I can sense anxiety, I can sense fear, I can sense cool.
And yet still, guys nail their interviews, or there's guys that aren't able to tell those things in interviews. I think the interview is very important.
Very important.
So you gave it, what, 20%?
19.
No.
You did 15, so it's not like, we were pretty close.
Yeah, but I gave the combine and pro day a little bit more.
Yeah, a little bit more.
Well, that's the rules now, guys.
Gonzaga USC tonight.
Yep.
I am scared to death for this game.
Did you put money on it?
I'd bet USC. I'll probably put money on USC +8. That's the side. There are no locks. There are just sides. That's a good side for me.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Marion, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Marion. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who's ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Marion on the iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcast.
Saturday, MLB is back as the Braves face Bryce Harper and the Phillies. Then the reigning champion Dodgers take on the Rockies. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. Eastern on FS1 and the Fox Sports app.
I am genuinely excited for baseball season. Genuinely excited. I think the Dodgers have a chance to be one of the most talented baseball teams. I was talking to Bob Costas last night, who's an encyclopedic baseball guy. And I asked him about the Dodgers. I'm like, is there anything that compares? And he said the A's teams that had like McGuire and Canseco and Dave Stewart. But I mean, you're starting to look at this Dodger team. They added Trevor Bauer to a staff with Walker Buehler, David Price, Clayton Kershaw. I mean, it's a loaded staff, and they got power 1 through 7, 1 through 8. I am genuinely excited for this team. And Dodger Stadium is so great.
I love Dodger Stadium.
Oh, God, it's so great.
I miss the garlic fries.
Oh, it's so, they've really figured it out. Like, it's not cool, it's not hip. It is, you walk into that thing, and it's like Disneyland.
It's an experience.
You walk into Disneyland, and it feels like the 70s in America. You're safe, it's fun, everybody's happy. Now the Diet Pepsi's $9. So you know it's not the 70s at Dodger Stadium or Disneyland. But, by the way, Jersey Mike's Month of Giving, 200 charities across the country. Go to the local store. Is it tomorrow that 100% of all their sales go to their charities? Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
So the Bucs spent their offseason bringing back as many players from their Super Bowl team as they could. Antonio Brown is the only notable free agent yet to re-sign with the team. But Bruce Arians is still trying to make it work with AB. He said, we're just going to take our time. There's offers out there. We'll see how it goes. Now, in general, there's probably not that many teams that are willing to take a risk on Antonio Brown at this point. We know Russell Wilson's been very vocal about wanting him to join the Seahawks, and I believe that Tampa Bay is the best place for him.
Yeah.
Now, who knows? Maybe Antonio Brown has grown and changed. People change. But he had quite the reputation before getting to Tampa Bay. So, you know, people aren't not going to forget that. Your body of work does matter. However, there are a few teams that have some solid cultures that could probably bring him in. I think that the Ravens would benefit from having Antonio Brown. They're good. They have a good culture.
Need a receiver.
They need a receiver. Well, the bottom five teams in receiving grade in 2020, according to Pro Football Focus, were the Ravens, 28, and the Broncos, Washington, Jets, and Eagles. I don't think the Jets, the Eagles, or the Broncos would be a good space for him. Washington is kind of interesting. They've sort of stabilized things within that organization with Ron Rivera. But to me, I think that if it's not Seattle or Tampa Bay, that the Ravens would be a good landing spot for AB if they don't end up bringing him back. So Justin Fields is showing off his skills at Ohio State's Pro Day today, and he is expected to be one of the top picks in the draft this year. And Ryan Day is confident that whichever team gets him will be very happy.
I think, you know, someone's gonna take a shot at him here early in the draft, and they're going to have a franchise quarterback for a long time. When you combine the talent, the size, the arm strength, his competitiveness, his toughness, his intelligence, I mean, it kind of checks all the boxes. And if you were trying to design a quarterback, Justin fits that prototype.
Justin is very interesting to me because I think he's falling victim to kind of the overanalyzation that happens around this time.
Yeah.
He was 7-1 in 2020. It's 70.2 completion percentage, 2,100 yards, 22 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, and 383 rushing yards and 5 rushing touchdowns. He clocked a 4.44 in the 40-yard dash he ran earlier today. I mean, he is a playmaking, athletic, accurate quarterback. I think the Northwestern game hurt him a lot. And maybe it's the Ohio State thing that's hurting him as well. But I just feel like he's being overanalyzed. I mean, throughout the entire season, it was Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. And now we're having like Mac Jones conversations. And obviously Trey Lance has been talked about a lot. But we have more body of work with Justin Fields. I think San Francisco is going to end up taking Justin Fields.
Well, I think I've said this. Trevor Lawrence is going to work because he falls into that Cam, Andrew Luck, Mahomes, Josh Allen. He is just such a talent. After that, the only other quarterback I'm really confident in working is whoever San Francisco drafts. Winning, smart.
Where you go matters.
I swear to God. Unless you're in Andrew Luck town or in Elway. Again, there's not many of those. Cam, like you're just literally physically, Cam's first 4 years in the league, he was just bowling over linebackers. If you're not one of those guys, it's all about where you land.
What I think is interesting, though, is we know Trevor Lawrence is going to go one to Jacksonville.
That's done.
We're pretty much assuming Zach Wilson is going to the Jets.
Boom.
So San Francisco is the question mark. If San Francisco takes Trey Lance.
I think they are. That's my guess.
Atlanta is probably not taking a quarterback.
Well, but it's
and may not move out of that space. If they stay there, and we know Cincinnati's not moving.
So Atlanta's fascinating.
Atlanta is the key.
Because Justin Fields is from there, so there'll be local pressure to take him.
But
you'll have the fourth pick, and you do not want to not take Justin Fields. And Carolina takes him, and in division, the Georgia kid eats you for lunch for a decade.
I think if Justin Fields falls to Miami, they will take him, though.
Miami?
If Justin Fields falls to Miami, they might take him.
Boy, Atlanta has a lot of control.
I think they're the key to the draft.
It's a weird...
If Justin Fields were to fall to Miami, would that surprise you if they took him? I know they're saying they're all in on Tua, but they're saying they're all in on Tua, assuming that Justin Fields is not available at
By the
six.
Way, Justin Fields, to me, is the opposite of Tua, which is a bigger, super athlete. Tua is a consistent, accurate thrower with time. Fields isn't quite. So, like, Fields is the opposite. So you bring him in, and you just watch as a staff, and you're like, you'd probably wreck Tua mentally, but...
Well, I don't... Well, of course you would, but if you feel that Justin Fields is more talented than Tua?
Oh, God, yes. Yeah, yeah.
What do you do if he falls to you? I mean, they could trade back, I guess, if somebody wanted him.
What would I do? I know what I would do.
Yes, I would as well, but it's just... The key is Atlanta in this draft. Finally, the UConn women earned their 13th straight trip to the Final Four with a very close win over Baylor last night. This was a great game.
Yeah, very close at the end.
But it did end in controversy when UConn was not called for a foul at the end of the game. So we're showing it here. Baylor's Dejanay Carrington tried to put up a jumper with the seconds remaining.
That's
and
not a foul. That's good defense.
Appeared to get hit in the face during the shot. She did. There was definitely contact, but there was no call, and the Huskies held on to win 69-67.
Very close. I swallow the whistle there.
I do too. Now I agree that there was contact there. I mean, especially if you slow it down and you have a screenshot of that moment, like there you can clearly see them hitting her. But my thing is, you can't rely on the refs in a moment like this. Like the play can't be drawn up to draw contact and get a foul in this moment. Like, and maybe it wasn't, but you can't expect the refs to make that call. And this game was so physical. The entire game, the refs were letting them play.
Now, to tell me if I'm out of line, no sport in America over the last 10 years has improved more in quality of athletes than women's basketball. When you watch a top women's basketball game, everybody can use the left hand. Like, that game last night was, like, physical.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm surprised that they relied on a call in that. Well, I mean, basketball in general as a culture is getting much more skilled.
Everybody can shoot.
You know, if you're big or not, has to be able to shoot
but the
and handle the ball and pass.
Of women's basketball?
It was a great game. Well, a big part of this game, though, also was Dede Richards getting injured near the end of the third quarter. The Bears were up 9, and then UConn went in on a 9-2 run, which cut the lead, and that's how it played out. But LeBron felt like it was a foul. He was watching, tweeted, "Come on, man, that was a foul." And Gino Auriemma responded to LeBron on the no foul call and said, "I probably doubt that in his career he's ever won a game and decided to give it back because he looked at it and went, that was a foul. So it is what it is. You want to go back and check every single call throughout the entire game and then add them up. You don't. It's you can't rely on the refs in that spot. But it was a great game. And congrats to UConn. Arizona also beat Indiana in a close game, 66-53.
Good to see the women's team at Indiana is good.
will they beat Indiana? But yes.
Well, yeah, but they're still good.
Yes.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live
Indiana
news.
Basketball fans, men's basketball, and Nebraska's fans, it's a tough time because they're having to acknowledge the job's not that great anymore. And it was for the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. It's hard. Like Notre Dame went through that real interesting time where, like, Notre Dame, are they just a 7-win team? Then Brian Kelly came in, and now Notre Dame's a top 6 program. No question. They go toe-to-toe with Georgia. If you can go toe-to-toe with Georgia in Athens, you can play with anybody. So I am so nervous for tonight. You know what? One of the things I like about being a sportscaster is I don't watch games and my gut hurts. Like when I was a fan,
it's a different experience.
It's a different experience. It's like, oh, you're just sweating it and yelling at the television and throwing shoes. I don't have that anymore. With few exceptions, Gonzaga USC tonight for me will be.
Well, those are your schools.
It's going to be really tough.
You love USC.
Well, I'm a Mark Few guy. Mm-hmm. I literally text him during timeouts. So I'm a Mark Few guy. But Andy Enfield works out where I work out. And I'm a fight on Trojan, right? Like, I like USC's athletic department. I know a lot of people there.
Right.
But I'm from Washington State. I went to Eastern Washington next to Gonzaga.
It's a very conflicting experience for you.
Tonight, regardless of who wins, I will have a pit in my stomach all night. And that, can you imagine being a sports fan and it's like that every night?
Yeah, I remember those days.
And it's not, people are always like, who do you root for? And I'm like, well, I'm a professional. Like, a baker doesn't have to root for a turnover. You can just make a cookie. You don't have to root for a cookie. People will say, like, how do you watch sports? You don't root for people. Bakers don't root for peanut butter cookies. They're rooting for the quality of the produce. All I root for is good games.
Yeah.
And good games give me good topics. And if a game's great, that means you watch longer, meaning when you turn in,
you and I can have no blowouts and no dud teams.
Yeah, I mean, I watch Sunday. I sit with a notepad, watch the NFL. I don't have to have, like, people are always confounded with that. Well, who are your teams? I don't have any. I have guys I like LeBron to have success because I'm tired of everybody hating on him. And Brady, I think, is fascinating. But I don't root for teams. I really don't. But tonight is one of those three nights a year that I'm literally going to be just not at all enjoying it.
Well, and you're going to put, you know.
Well, you know, I told you what I used. Did I ever tell you what I used to do when I got to Vegas? I learned a trick.
No.
You know how people buy insurance? So what I would always do when I moved to Vegas out of college, I would bet against my favorite team. So if I lost, I won money.
Mm.
Because what I found is when I bet on my teams and the team lost, I was miserable. And I lost money, I was doubly miserable and it ruined my weekend.
Yeah.
So I thought, I'm going to bet a hundy. I was broke. I'm going to bet a hundy against my team. And if my team loses, I'm pissed, but I won money. And at that time, $100 was Powerball. So I never had a bad weekend.
It's very smart.
Boom.
That's why you're in that seat. All the brains.
This thing doesn't go off. It doesn't even shut off. Oh, by the way, we talked about who I would start an NBA franchise with, and I'll give you my five and why I would give you my five. That's coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcast.
Butcher Box, improve your diet and your protein. High-quality meat delivered to your door. Free ground beef in every box for the life of your membership. You join today, butcherbox.com/HERD. Gonzaga is the number one points per game team in the tournament tonight. Offense, USC is the number two defense. In my life, when a great defense faces a great offense, the defense usually prevails. We saw Tampa Bay's defense against Patrick Mahomes. We've seen a lot of great offenses in college football. They meet Alabama's defense, and they fall apart. If you go look at great defenses, remember that Peyton Manning Denver Bronco offense met the Legion of Boom in Seattle? It was over. Great defenses shut down great offenses because what they do is they make them uncomfortable. And so Gonzaga is the best offense in the tournament easily. But I've seen Phi Slamma Jamma the St. John's team that had four NBA guys in the mid-80s not win a tournament because they were disrupted by a great defense. And that's what I worry about tonight for Gonzaga is it's very few teams. The only competitive game Gonzaga has played in 3 months is West Virginia. Why? Because they play defense. West Virginia, Bob Huggins plays defense. So USC is the second best defensive team left. Baylor plays good defense. So this is not an easy route for Gonzaga tonight. They're favored, but I would take the points and the Trojans. I think it's a very close basketball game. And I think it's USC's got no pressure, house money at this point. It's a little nervous tonight. It's weird because I don't get nervous for sporting events anymore. It's funny. Years ago, Tom Brady met Russell Wilson in a Super Bowl. And I worked at the other place. And people were like, oh, you're rooting for it. And I'm like, I'm happy either way. I lived in Connecticut. I loved the Patriots. And then I grew up in Seattle. And I couldn't be happier. But even though I grew up in Seattle, I was across the country. I was into the Patriots. And I was like, doesn't matter. I'll be happy either way. And then it came down to the last play, and it was like everybody else was throwing up, and I was like, yeah, it ends how it ends. I'm fine with it. So I'm not necessarily loyal to the teams I grew up with. I like to see them do well, but I do get into moments like I want to see LeBron win because I'm so tired of people banging on him, and I didn't grow up in Akron, Ohio.
So you're nervous tonight, but there's not a team you want to win more than the
well,
other.
Well, I think I would like to see Mark Few win a champ. I don't think USC is a national championship team. I think Gonzaga is. But I think they're the teams that have, you know, I said this a couple days ago. We all think offense wins in this tournament. No, it doesn't. If you look at the history of this tournament, the best offense is still around. But the two best defenses are also still around. Defense wins because these games get close. The favorites get nervous. They get tight. It's a four-point game with 3.5 to go. Who makes the stop? Now, Gonzaga played very good defense against Creighton. So they can defend. They're not a great defensive team, but they can defend. So I think Gonzaga is going to win really close. By the way, I said earlier today, I was talking with Chris Broussard. I said, if there were five people I could start my franchise with over the next 5 years, I'm not going to project 10 years, but give me 5 years, because there's a lot of talented people. There's not a lot of valuable players. There's a lot of great players, but they're old. They're injured. Like, I like a Joel Embiid and KD, but I can't trust AD or KD. They're always hurt, so they wouldn't be in my five. My five would be, here we go, number five would be Jimmy Butler. He's 31. By the way, it's pretty simple. He's the third best defensive player in the league behind Rudy Gobert and LeBron. He does it on both ends. He's a culture changer. He got a Miami team with a bunch of kids to the finals last year. Like, that's impressive. He got them to play defense, and it's not a roster with a ton of great defensive players. He's having a career year in rebounds, assists, field goal percentage. I was out on him for a long time. I thought he was a little bit of a malcontent and a flake. And it's like he went to Miami. All he needed was structure. It's like I say about OBJ, Odell Beckham. He was fine at LSU and the Giants when they had Coughlin. But OBJ needs structure. And Jimmy Butler got structure. He's great. He's number five.
Number four.
LeBron's my only old guy at 36. But again, when he comes back, if you look at LeBron, it's very simple. The Lakers are plus 281 when he's on the floor this year and minus 61 when he's off it. So they're basically not a playoff team without him and the best team with him. So he's still the most dominant player in the league. And again, if he's healthy when the playoffs start, who's favored? The Lakers because of LeBron.
Number three.
Nikola Jokic, 26-year-old Denver center. First of all, dude's getting better. Career high in points, career high in assists, career high in rebounds. He's the only guy in the league going 25, 10, and 8. He's the best passing big guy. He can shoot threes. He can pass. Like, Giannis can't shoot. Giannis doesn't pass like this. You can say what you want about Giannis. This guy offensively is a machine. He does everything. He reminds me, he is what Arvydas Sabonis would have been if he had come to the NBA at 24 years old. Instead, we got old Arvydas. Jokic is fantastic.
Number two.
Probably Luka Doncic. He's 22 years old. By the way, his field goal percentage keeps going up. Doesn't play a lick of defense. And who knows if he'll ever sell merchandise. But in terms of just, dude, he hits threes, he hits twos. I've said this before. Barring an injury, he'll be a top three scorer in league history. I mean, he's 22 years old. If he plays to 38 years old, just do the numbers. He will rival Kareem most points in NBA history. He is an offensive machine, can shoot from anywhere. Number one.
Number one.
It's Zion. Because as an owner, I get the merchandising. As a GM, I get the efficiency. As a coach, I get the relatability and likability. 24 straight games with 20-plus points. Longest streak in NBA history for any player under 21. He's only 20 years old. 24 straight games with 20-plus points, shooting over 50%. He's the most efficient player in the league. He also, in the last month, is shooting the most free throws. So he is literally getting your best players in foul trouble, which Luka doesn't do. I mean, he is efficient. He is dominant. He gets to the free throw line. He gets you into foul trouble. He is going to sell a ton of merchandise. He's a totally transformational marketing player. The smile, the game, the strength, the volume, he's everything. Those are my guys. Nothing against Giannis, but Jokic is a better overall. In an offensive league, Jokic is a better offensive player. That's why I got him there. There's my guys right there.
Yeah, people are going to be mad about Giannis.
Hey, win a third straight playoff series in the East.
I'm with you.
I mean, Denver got to the Western Conference Finals. Jokic, and Jokic is younger and getting better and better offensively. All right, hour three. Big pro day today. Guys tearing it up at pro day. Just throwing spirals. It's the Herd.